Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And let's talk about Halloween. It's spooky season. And I want to talk to you about the top five spooky things you should not be doing for your face. What are these things and why should you avoid them? Well, there are too many trends going on, and some of them are good to jump on. Many of them are not. What are the spooky things that I would never do and recommend that you think very closely before doing for your face? Number one on my list is certain types of radiofrequency microneedling that have very deep dermal penetration can cause dermal thinning, dermal atrophy, and changes of the skin that are akin to aging changes. So I have seen a rash of women in my practice who have had very aggressive treatments with certain types of technology, radiofrequency microneedling, Morpheus comes to mind, all therapy sometimes comes to mind, Thermage comes to mind, but these are energy devices. They are successfully used in the hands of some practitioners and then very unsuccessfully used for others. And I think that the depth and penetration of the needles is so critical here. When you use radiofrequency energy in the dermis, in the dermal tissues, you're literally thinning the layer that's responsible for youthful vitality of the skin. The papillary dermis is where aging occurs, and this has usually got the highest concentration of fibroblasts. These cells become senescent as we age, and they normally thin and die off in atrophy, causing skin changes like textural change and creping. And guess what happens when you blast these areas with little nuclear needle devices that are heat? They definitely atrophy and thin the blood supply. They thin this papillary dermis, and they cause long-term significant changes to the skin that are very hard to remedy. I've been treating some of these patients in our practice with collagen stimulators as well as a mixture of hyaluronic acid with collagen stimulators to try to replump and improve this dermal tissue. I think it's so important to be proactive and preventative. And I always think that heat in the skin is dangerous, especially for pigmented skin individuals. Can create hyperpigmentation. I've seen all kinds of problems with microneedling devices. This is not to say that microneedling devices are the enemy. The enemy is the user who does not know the power of the device and is maybe not using it correctly. So definitely do your homework and think about researching this. Look into long-term side effects and complications. You can read many different websites to find out people's reviews of problems that they've had. Seek a practitioner who's super experienced and has a high volume of doing these treatments so that they have, you know, experience under their belts. Number two on my list of spooky things I do not want to do or have done for my face, and you should also be careful, is over-dissolving. So there's a whole phenomenon of the over-dissolving syndrome where people are injecting hyaluronidase, that's right, Hyalinex, the enzyme that dissolves hyaluronic gel fillers, and they're liberally dissolving their whole entire faces. There is a trend to dissolve filler because somewhere, somehow, some person said that filler was bad and that you can't do facelifts after filler, and that those people need to be sought out and spoken to, because those kind of broad generalizations are definitely, number one, not true. Number two, not proven. Number three, they're anecdotal. Number four, I don't know. We've had 25 years of fillers and collagen stimulators. We really haven't seen such dramatic or drastic problems till the onset of Instagram and people wanting Instagram popularity. So I think definitely any interventions that we do on the face can cause difficulty with dissection and future surgery. But it does not mean we should push or advise our patients to get full face dissolving. And I'm going to dissolve all my fillers and I'm going to reset my face and start fresh. This is not a good concept. Over-dissolving is not good for the general hyaluronic acid content of the skin. We can't control with any precision how we place Hyalinex. It drifts through the face. It's a water-based product. It is like a teardrop or a raindrop. You really can't control how a raindrop spreads when it hits the ground. It's a very fast-acting product with a half-life of 2.5 minutes. So in the space of 2.5 minutes, 50% of the work of that enzyme that dissolves hyaluronic acid is done working, and it continues to work for about 24 to 48 hours. And it's extremely powerful. It will diffuse through many different tissues and tissue planes. This is an enzyme that's often used during surgery to allow us to get good perfusion of local anesthetic. And this is a product that I often will use in the operating room. This is a product we often use in surgery, like in blepharoplasty surgery, because I want to encourage permeability and diffusion of local anesthetic, or getting good penetration of products into the depth of the tissues that are going to have surgery. This can happen with hyaluronidase. It can penetrate through many levels, way past the filler that you'd like to dissolve. So in general, it's fine to dissolve when filler has migration or has swelling or is giving concerns because of its anatomic location. We are always going to use micro droplet technique, lots of massage, multiple small sessions, better than nuclear annihilation of one session of blasting the skin with four or five bottles of Hylenex. I've seen patients who get very difficult to treat skin atrophy and thinning and lipstick lines and collapse of the dermal structure, the integrity of the skin changes, and you really cannot diffusely inject the normal hyaluronic content back into the skin. It's very difficult to do. That is definitely a spooky thing to do to your face. Number three on my list is forgetting to treat the face while undergoing weight loss treatments. For patients who are getting semaglutides and weight loss shots, whether you're on Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, tirzepatide products like Zepbound, all of these products are incredibly effective at helping you lose weight. And they, when they are prescribed successfully and correctly, you can have minimal side effects, slow progress, and excellent weight control. But it's a huge mistake, and it's spooky to get on products that are compounded, unregulated. We have no idea actually what the composition is of what we're injecting. We don't have quality control where we can understand or quantify the amount of peptide per ml. And really, these products that are compounded are not FDA approved or tested. We don't have clinical testing to understand the exact implications of this particular compound pharmacy's work. And oftentimes, we've seen patients who have very extreme, very fast weight loss. It's something the body has trouble keeping up with because of the way it's prescribed or because of the particular compounding or a combination of the above. But I've found that people who go on these rapid weight loss shots have an extremely difficult time regaining the facial fat that they've lost. So they look really like, you know, heroin chic, supermodel gaunt, and extremely, like, you know, thin. They look extremely thin, but at what point does thin cross the boundary into looking gaunt and skeletal? I have seen, and we all have seen, pictures in the media of some stars like Sharon Osbourne, et cetera, who have extremely gaunt, skeletal looking facial features now. It's so hard to replace facial fat when it thins. It is spooky. It's the buccal space fat. It's the subzygomatic fat. It's the submalar fat. These temporal fat pads, especially, these fat pads of the face are extremely resistant to regrowth. You really literally can't grow fat back in these areas. And I think that short of fat transfer, it's difficult to maintain the appearance of youthfulness once you become extremely gaunt in these areas. You can especially even thin around the eyes, and that periorbital fat loss leads to a sunken eye and really very bony, sharp orbital rims. And sunken temples. So I just want my patients to be so cautious when they get on the weight loss shots to also start a muscle building regimen and a high protein diet and a high fiber diet, and have a practitioner who cares about checking your blood work and wants to keep your weight loss slow, slow and steady. Slow is fast. Remember that saying that slow is actually fast. When you do things the right way, slowly, you gradually lose weight without destroying your youthful facial beauty. This is facial fat that will not come back. I am using collagen biostimulators like Sculptra and Radiesse, hyperdilute Radiesse in the face, which has been really game-changing for our patients. We did a study over the summer with patients using hyperdilute treatments during their weight loss and noticed that their faces maintained beautifully. Over 6 months and 35 pounds of weight loss, still none of that gaunt, atrophied, elderly look that comes with losing weight too quickly. Okay, next on my list of number four of what to not do that's super spooky that you should avoid. If you have pigmented skin, please can you avoid lasers that generate heat energy? I can't tell you how many laser companies have come up to me and told me that their lasers are safe for all skin types. Any laser that generates heat, let me just tell you, in my 20 years of experience trying each and every laser, like I literally think I've tried generations of lasers now, and I have drank the Kool-Aid and listened to the reps and tried to believe the science and even done many of these lasers on myself, and have certainly found that any laser that generates heat triggers pigmentation. Pigmentation problems are very, very common with heat. So for those of us who want to blast our melasma with the most effective single time, one-time laser, you are going to get laser energy that heats up and makes melanocytes more active. You will temporarily look good for the first 4 to 6 weeks, maybe even for 3 months, but at the 6 month point, and where this is where people don't show photos of longevity of their laser experience, this is where rebound pigmentation comes into play and comes in with a severity. It triggers dermal fibroblast activity, which is very different from superficial melasma. This triggers inflammatory melanocyte activity, also creating that undertone of redness and angry inflammation that makes the skin and the melasma so much worse. So I am a huge fan of avoiding the heat. I am a personal melasma sufferer, and some of my good friends, the lady derm docs, mentioned in their lecture about melasma as the monster you can't kill, that you must befriend your melasma and you must work with it and you must treat it gently and with respect. And that means no heat, no laser, no hot saunas, hot yoga, working on a hot stove. There's so many different ways to trigger your melasma, but definitely, definitely favor lighter, gradual chemical peels, anti-inflammatory ingredients, and products that stop melanocyte activation versus heavy, high-dose lasers. All right, last on my list is back to the neck. Things that are spooky that I would never do for my neck. I would never put Retin-A on my neck. And lately, I know this is controversial, but the more I look at how my skin reacts and my patient's skin sometimes, I recommend Retin-A only for the skin types that really tolerate it. The neck has very unique skin. It's very dry. It lacks oil glands. It's definitely skin that looks very crepey, textured, and older. And the dehydration and drying effect of reducing sebum production on the neck can be devastating. I have had patients who apply Retin-A liberally to their neck thinking that it's the greatest thing for anti-aging for the face, so why not on the neck? And let me tell you, this becomes the dry desert of the neck. And when you have dryness of the neck, it really leads to that textural change, the fine lines, wrinkles, loss of hydration, and aging appearance of the neck. So the neck needs deep hydration. It needs hyaluronic acid. It needs ceramides and peptides. I have an amazing neck cream, which I use twice a day. And honestly, this has peptides that improve even flowers that, like the Edelweiss flower that grows in the Swiss Alps. It does not get creping, even with the brutal cold. And this peptide is incredible for youthfulness of the neck. I love the idea of hyaluronic acid followed by the peptide neck cream and then occlusive treatment, sometimes applying a layer of Vaseline with either a cloth scarf or a little bit of like a silicone pad around the neck to really allow it to permeate in. I love treatments that stimulate neocollagenesis of the neck, like hyperdilute radiesse, which grows increased padding and dermal thickness. Sculptra, which improves that soft volume and padding of the neck as well. And I'm also a huge fan of NanoFat, which delivered everywhere in the face and neck can do wonders. Newer products like Renuva, which is an injectable fat source, are also going to be game-changing for those of us that suffer with the crepey neck. But I would never bathe my neck in Retin-A. And that's an important public service announcement because so many of my patients love their Retin-A for the face, and I do too, but the facial glands are very different than the neck oil glands. So just be super careful All right. Well, there you have it. That's my fast five spooky things that I think you should be on the lookout for. Spooky season is here, and I don't want any of you running into trouble with your beauty. These are things I would avoid, research, look carefully into, do your homework. I don't want to make generalizations. I don't want to say bad things about any company. I want everyone out there to do their own research and their own homework. But these are tips and pointers of little things I've noticed over the years in practice. And I'm just putting up the red flag so you guys can be well informed and do your due diligence. All right, guys, that's it for now. Don't forget to find me for 5-Minute Fridays on Fridays. Tuesdays are longer podcasts. Please rank, rate, and review the podcast if you love it and you've been listening for a while. We would love you to subscribe and tell your friends. Send us a screenshot of your review, and we will be happy to send you a deluxe size samples of some of our skincare. And don't forget to find me on Beauty by Dr. K. That's my Instagram handle. It's Beauty by D-R-K-A-Y. Our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my amazing neck cream and lots of other skincare products that I've really carefully developed over the years. That's it for now, guys. Stay so healthy, and don't let your face get spooky. Love you.